Well, this evening we are concluding our sermon series in 2 Timothy. It's been a very instructive and encouraging letter to go through and to study. And I am so thankful that the Holy Spirit provided us this letter and this book. We are going to read the conclusion of Paul's letter here to Timothy, chapter 4. And I am going to begin at verse 16 and then continue to the end of the letter. So hear now God's word. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. This is the word of God. Let's pray and ask for his blessing on it. Lord, our God, we thank you for this glorious word. Lord, we thank you for the testimony of what you did through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, what you did in the church at Rome, in Ephesus. Lord, what you were doing in your servants like Timothy and Prisca and Aquila and all of these saints. And we thank you for the testimony of what you are doing in us and what you will do. And I ask, O Lord, that as we look at this word, that you would be with your servant, and that as I speak, Father, you would speak to the hearts of your people, that you would encourage us, that you would help us to see the grace of Jesus and its power. And so I ask, Lord, this, that he might be glorified, and in his name, amen. Well, here we are at the end of Paul's letter. Paul is sending greetings to various brothers and sisters in the church at Ephesus. He's sending greetings from the people in Rome, and he closes this letter with a benediction. Now, this is not sort of a typical passage to preach a sermon on, and Paul's not making an explicit theological point here. But as we read through this letter and as we look at the greetings here, we see a very clear theme. And that clear theme is that the grace of Jesus is at work in the world. And the grace of Jesus is at work in his people. And that's what we see here. So I want to look at this passage under just three headings here, under greetings, gospel advance, and grace. And in each of these things, we'll see the mighty work of Jesus. So first, Paul sends greetings. Now, the greetings here in this letter show us that the church was a collection of real people, but it also shows us that the church was filled with love for one another. And what we see here in these greetings are familial affection for brothers and sisters who have shared common ministry and who share a common Savior and have experienced the common grace. Now, you know, when you're speaking to a friend, and a friend perhaps from a distance away, and you know they're about to see someone that you love dearly, but you haven't seen in a long time, what do? You say, please tell so-and-so that I said hello. Please send so-and-so my regards or my greetings. You do that because the person is in your heart. And these, as we see here, Paul begins as sending greetings to Prisca and Aquila. These people were in the heart of the Apostle Paul. Why? Because they had shared common ministry. They shared common grace and a common Lord. Now, Prisca and Aquila, who were Prisca and Aquila? They were Jews who were living in Corinth when the Apostle Paul was on his second missionary journey. When the Apostle Paul showed up in Corinth, Prisca and Aquila, he met there. They were originally from the Asia area, and they had been living in Rome for some time, and they were in Corinth when the Apostle Paul shows up. And they were they loved the Lord Jesus, they knew the gospel, and they were also involved in teaching that gospel. You might remember the name Apollos. Apollos was a man, we're told, who was fervent in spirit and spoke many things concerning Jesus as he traveled around. But he didn't understand the baptism of Jesus. He was preaching the baptism of John. So apparently, he didn't yet understand the full gospel. And Prisca and Aquila draw near to him, and they explain the gospel in its greater fullness. Aquila was a tent maker, and so Paul had an immediate connection with him, and he remained there in Corinth with Prisca and Aquila for 2 years, ministering and preaching the gospel, co-laboring with his dear brother and sister. And then when he returns to Ephesus, Prisca and Aquila go with him. So here's Paul now in Rome, and he's writing to Ephesus, and apparently Prisca and Aquila are still there in Ephesus, undoubtedly serving the Lord. But that period of 2 years co-laboring together forged in them a deep love. And he's mentioned, these two are mentioned in some of Paul's other letters. When Paul writes his letter to Rome, Prisca and Aquila are in Rome at that time, and he says, please send Prisca and Aquila my greetings. And that's a reminder, right, that when the people of God work together in common ministry, bonds of affection are formed when you share ministry with your brothers and sisters. And that's why it's important when you're a member of a church to be involved in the life of the church. And it's really easy to show up for a worship service and to slip out the door. But when you are in the trenches with your brothers and sisters, you're ministering at the nursing home, or you're ministering to needy people in the congregation, or you're involved in mission trips or missions activities of the church together, shoulder to shoulder, bonds of affection are formed. It's the bonds of family. So that affection is developed through common labors. But the affection, familial affection, is also formed through a common Lord. Notice that here Paul sends greetings to those in Ephesus from Eubulus, Pudens, Linus, and Claudia. And he says, and all the brothers here at Rome. Now, we don't know much about these Roman brothers and sisters, but these are people that were, many of whom were likely converted during Paul's ministry there in Rome. And most of them have probably never met those Christians in Ephesus. And yet, they've heard from Paul about those in Ephesus. And they know they are of like faith. These are brothers and sisters who have similarly experienced the grace of God in their lives. They've been born again through the same gospel, the same Holy Spirit. And so they are sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. And that gives them an affection. So they send their greetings. So we see here the affection of the family of God. We can also see this affection and this love for one another displayed in the communication of this letter. What do you do when you see someone that you know who's visiting from out of state? You ask him, what's the news? Tell me, what's the news? How's so-and-so doing? And then you give a report. Did you hear about so-and-so? You know, my daughter is doing well. This is where she is. My son is doing this and that. You communicate because you want to know how your friends are doing. And so here, the Apostle Paul is communicating with Timothy. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. Now, who were Erastus and Trophimus? Erastus and Trophimus were both Christians from Asia Minor. Trophimus, we know for a fact, was a Christian from Ephesus. And Trophimus was with Paul on his third missionary journey as they were traveling back through Greece and on their way back to Asia Minor. Trophimus was with Paul and with Timothy. So he knew Timothy well. He knew the... he was undoubtedly dear friends with many in Ephesus. Apparently he had gotten sick, and Paul, on his ministry, had to leave him at Miletus, which was a bit of a way from Ephesus. And so Paul writes this letter. Now, if he had omitted Trophimus' greetings, because Trophimus is not with him, he knows Timothy would be concerned. Now, you know, why doesn't Trophimus send his greetings? Is he okay? Has he left the faith? Is he still alive? And so the Apostle Paul, he communicates. Because Timothy and the saints there in Ephesus love him. And that's what families do. They communicate with one another because they care about one another. I'm always encouraged when brothers and sisters here will send an email. I'm not going to be at Knox this coming Lord's Day. I'm not going to be at church this coming Lord's Day because I'm traveling. You know, why do the members of the church communicate like that? They're not afraid that they're going to be someone's going to be looking at them and sort of. You know, the elders are going to be breathing down my neck. You know, I better tell them, why I'm away. Or the elders are probably suspicious of me. No, that it's communication. They're communicating because they know that the people of Knox love them as family. And so if your elders ever ask you, how's it going? We've missed you the last couple of Lord's Days. Is everything okay? They're not speaking out of suspicion. They're speaking out of that love and that concern, the love of family. So here in the greetings, we see family affection that's forged from the grace of Jesus at work in the lives of his people. But we also see the grace of Jesus at work as we get a little window into the advance of the gospel. Now remember, where's Paul writing this letter from? He's sitting in prison, and he's about to go to his death. Now, it would be easy to look at this situation. Paul's been appointed by Christ to preach the gospel, to build his kingdom. And Paul has experienced a life of suffering, much imprisonment, and now he's about to go to his death. And we see... earlier in this letter, reports of Demas leaving the faith, wandering away, abandoning Paul. We see some brothers and sisters failing Paul in his hour of need. They don't show up at his trial. And we can wonder, is the gospel going to be victorious? Look at all of these roadblocks, these trials. But I want you to notice in verse 21, Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Prudens, Linus, and Claudia, and all the brothers. Now, all those names are Roman names. They're Latin names. The word of God has been bearing fruit in Rome. And people have been coming into the kingdom of Christ through the preaching of the Apostle Paul. Remember what he says in verse 17. I was there alone. No one showed up at my trial. But the Lord stood by me and he strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. Because the Lord is bringing Gentiles to himself. The gospel continues to advance, even when it looks like there's great opposition. Remember what Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians? He's writing to the Philippians from a prison in Rome. This is his first imprisonment in Rome. And he tells them, I want you to know that what has happened to me, don't worry about me being in prison. I want you to know that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Because through my being in prison, members of the imperial guard and even the household of Caesar have heard the gospel. Remember what he tells Timothy at the beginning of this letter. He says, I am in chains suffering for the sake of the gospel, but the word of God is not bound. You can throw the Christians in jail. The word of God is not bound, and the kingdom of Christ is going to advance. And not even despite the opposition, but through the opposition, the mighty Lord Jesus uses even the imprisonment of his servants to advance that gospel and build this kingdom. And here in the greetings, we see this testimony as these Roman brothers and sisters who now love the Lord Jesus because they heard the gospel and believed, send their greetings to the brothers and sisters in Ephesus. So the gospel is advancing. Jesus is going to be victorious. I'm reminded of Paul's letter to the Colossians. When he writes to the Colossian Christians and he says, we always give thanks to the Lord ever since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have now for all the saints because of the gospel which you heard and was preached to you, which is increasing, as indeed in the whole world it is increasing and bearing fruit, as it also does among you. You heard that gospel, the word of truth, Paul says, which is being proclaimed and increasing throughout the world and bearing fruit. And the gospel will bear fruit as it is proclaimed. Jesus will advance his kingdom. So don't be discouraged when you hear about reports of persecution around the world. Don't be discouraged when you experience opposition in your workplace or in your communities. The word of God is not bound, and Jesus will advance his kingdom. Well, thirdly, we see this theme of the grace of God in the Apostle Paul's greeting, closing benediction. Listen to how he signs this letter. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. This is a prayer that's voiced to the believers there, to the church at Ephesus. It's a benediction. The Lord be with your spirit is how he begins this. Now, he's addressing this to Timothy because he knows that Timothy, who's following in his footsteps as a minister of the gospel, as a pastor, is going to be facing trials. various persecutions, challenges within the church, disappointment of believers. As we talked about last week, he'll experience the opposition of foes, the disappointment of friends. But Paul knows that Timothy is serving the same Jesus that strengthened him, that strengthened the Apostle Paul in his hour of need in the jail to proclaim that gospel. The Lord stood by me and strengthened me. And so he says, Timothy, on your own, you cannot stand. You don't have the strength in yourself to serve the Lord and stand. So the Lord be with your spirit. And when Jesus is with you, Jesus strengthens you. And like the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I can be content in want. I can be thankful and rejoice in plenty. I can endure persecutions, and I can endure sufferings because the Lord is with me, and He is the one who strengthens me. And the Lord Jesus is the one who strengthens you and your trials. And Paul, as Paul speaks this prayer, the Lord be with your spirit, he's not simply pronouncing wishful thinking, but he is pronouncing what he knows the Lord will do. The Lord will strengthen Timothy. And isn't that a wonderful thing? When you greet your brothers and sisters, when you pray for them, and you bless them with your words, may the Lord be with you. May the Lord strengthen you this week. You're not expressing wishful thinking, but you're speaking what the Lord is able and will do by His Holy Spirit to those who are in Him. So bless your brothers and sisters with words of blessing. Perhaps you've experienced that. You've been struggling with discouragement. Or perhaps you're not particularly struggling with difficulties, but you are not feeling particularly strong. And then a brother or sister comes and speaks to you and prays with you or speaks a word of blessing. The Lord be with you this week. Have you experienced just the encouragement and the grace that comes from that blessing? The Lord has designed us to be people who bless one another with their words. And here we see Paul blessing Timothy with these words. But he concludes this with, grace be with you. And if you have an ESV, you'll see a note there which tells you that in Greek, the word you is plural. So this is a word of blessing that he is speaking to the entire church at Ephesus. Grace be with you. Now, what is grace? Grace is the gift of God. Grace is literally means a gift. But when the scriptures speak about grace, when Paul here says, grace be with you, what is he speaking about? What is the grace that he's speaking about? Well, the grace is the strength, of the Holy Spirit, which strengthens believers in Christ, and which empowers them to love the Lord and to bear fruit to His glory. That's what grace is. And we all need it. You need it, I need it, because in ourselves, we don't have the strength to love, to know the Lord Jesus, and to bear the fruit of holiness. But God promises grace in His Word to His people. But I want you to notice here that the Apostle Paul, as he says, grace be with you, this follows his blessing, the Lord be with your spirit. And those two are intimately connected. Because grace is not just this inanimate substance that the Lord gives. What is grace? What is the strength that causes people, his people, to bear fruit? It's the presence of the Lord Jesus in his people. And Paul says in Colossians, he says, you know, don't be led astray by vain philosophies, but remember that the fullness of deity dwells in Christ, and you have been filled in him. And in that same letter, he says, you know, I was sent to preach the gospel, or the mystery hidden for ages, the gospel, which is Christ in you. Christ in you. And I always think of that beautiful phrase, as Paul, the Apostle Paul puts it, right, when he's talking about his life of ministry and the strength that he's experienced. He says, it is no longer I, since the Lord delivered me, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. So how do you experience grace? You experience grace by the presence of the Lord Jesus in you. And he dwells in you when you believe the gospel. He dwells in you by faith. And he dwells in you in fullness as you drink from him, as you feed on him in the word, the Lord's Supper, in prayer, and fellowship with his people. So this week, you are going to work, to school. Maybe you're at home raising your children, facing things that require grace. You want to serve the Lord Jesus. You need grace. But the Lord promises his grace. Because the Lord promises his presence in you, his people. So be encouraged, church, and this week may the Lord be with you, and may his grace fill you. May the Lord Jesus himself fill you. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this wonderful reminder that the Lord Jesus is mighty, that his word advances and brings the lost into fellowship with the living God, that his word will not be stopped. Lord, we thank you that through his presence in us, we experience, Lord, the love of the family of God. And we thank you that the Lord Jesus is present in us through his Holy Spirit, and we ask that you would encourage our hearts and that indeed you would fill us with his presence, that his glory and his power might be seen in the church to the praise of his glorious grace. We pray in his name, amen.